ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 15th chapter, description of mystic yoga perfections, text number 34. Janmaushadhi
Tapo
Mantrayar
Yavatir
Iha
Siddhaya
Yoginapnoti
Taha
Sarva
Nanyair
Yogatim
Prajet
Janmaushadhi Tapo Mantrair Yavatir Ihasitaya Yoginapnoti Tak
Sarva
Nanyair Yogatim Prajet Janmaushadhi Tapo Mantrair Yavatir Ihasiddhaya Yoginapnoti Taksarva Nanyar Yoga Gatim Brajet Janma, by birth. Oshadhi, herbs. Tapaha, austerities. Mantrai, and by mantras. Yavati, as many as there are. Iha, in this world. Siddhaya, perfections. Yogena, by devotional service to me. Apnoti, one obtains. Taha, those. Sarva, all of them.
Na,
not. Anyai, by other methods. Yogagatim, the actual perfection of yoga. Brajet,
one can achieve.
Translation, whatever mystic perfections can be achieved by good birth, herbs, austerities and mantras can all be achieved by devotional service to me. Indeed, one cannot achieve the actual perfection of yoga by any other means. Report. By taking birth as a demigod, one is automatically endowed with many mystic perfections. Simply by birth on Siddhaloka, one automatically acquires all of the 8 principal perfections of yoga. Similarly, by birth as a fish, one becomes invulnerable to water. By birth as a bird, one gets the mystic perfection of flying. And by birth as a ghost, one gets the mystic perfection of disappearing and entering into the bodies of others. Patanjali Muni states that the mystic perfections of yoga can be achieved by birth, herbs, austerities, and mantras. The Lord states, however, that such perfections are ultimately a waste of time and an impediment to achieving the actual perfection of yoga, Krishna consciousness. Those who give up the process of bhakti yoga and shop around for other objects of meditation besides Krishna are certainly not very intelligent. Those who claim to be yogis but pursue the satisfaction of their own senses are certainly kuyogis or bhogi yogis. Such kuyogis cannot understand that just as they have tiny senses, the absolute truth has absolute senses, nor can they understand that yoga is actually meant to satisfy the absolute senses of the Lord. Therefore, persons who give up the lotus feet of Lord Krishna in order to pursue so-called happiness in mystic perfection will undoubtedly be frustrated in their attempt. By meditating exclusively on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can achieve yoga gati, the ultimate goal of yoga, which means living on Lord Krishna's planet and there enjoying spiritual opulences. Janmaushadhi tapo mantrayar yavatir iha siddhaya yoga yoginapnoti taksarva nanyair yoga gatim brajet. Whatever mystic perfections can be achieved by good birth, herbs, austerities, and mantras can all be achieved by devotional service to me. Indeed, one cannot achieve the actual perfection of yoga by any other means.
Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupam Kadamayam Tadhati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, in 11th canto, Lord Krishna is describing to Uddhava the mystic yogic perfections. Nowadays, everybody is very interested in yoga for so many different purposes. But because very few have actually read the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. Even fewer have read Bhagavad Gita. So, if you don't know Yogeshwar, the master of all yoga, then how can you claim to be a yogi? Krishna is the one who has propounded all these yoga systems. So if you're claiming to be a follower of a certain tradition, then we should be knowledgeable about that tradition, about the books which are describing that tradition, and about the founder, the Acharya of that tradition. So Krishna, he is Yogeshwar. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna. Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara. Krishna is Yogeshwar. He is the master of all yoga. And as such, he has explained very meticulously all the different yogic procedures in the different scriptures. And in Bhagavad Gita, we have the basic description of the different yoga processes. They are given up to Bhakti Yoga. Arjuna is telling Krishna, not very practical for me. I can't do this. This is beyond my possibility. So Krishna is explaining to him how to be a yogi in devotion, a Bhakti Yogi. You all know, Krishna states in Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madgantena taratmana shradavan vajateyo mam same yukta tamo mataha. That the highest of all yogis is he who is always engaged and absorbed in my service and in my pastimes. That is the highest yogi. Nowadays, people are trying to perform yoga, but their practice is very faulty. Why? Because they are not following their own process. Like, if you're following science, you're doing laboratory experiment, there are certain rules, there are certain strictures, and you have to follow them. Otherwise, your logic and your result will be futile. So in the same way, if you're trying to be yogi, then we have to follow the procedure, how to practice yoga. Now, what is the yoga process? Yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. Yama Niyam, the things which you do and the things which you don't do. Already there, everybody's failing. Because, what's the first verdict? Shuchau Deshe. Shuchi, clean. You have to be in a purified, in a clean place. So forget about city life. City life is out of the question. Because this is Rajasic at best, if not Tamasic. If you want to practice yoga, you have to go to the forest, you have to go to the mountains, Himalayas. So, but everybody wants to be in the city, right? Because in the city, that's where the action is. That's where the money is. That's where all the people are. But that's Rajagun. So when you're in Rajagun, you cannot be a yogi. It doesn't work like that. So, Shuchau Dheshe, we have to be in a holy place, in a sanctified place, in a pure place. That is not the case. So already by the first description, disqualified. Already case is dismissed. On the first instant. Then of course, so many other strictures are given, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. We can all study them and see how difficult it is to be a yogi. That's why Krishna has been asked by Arjuna, please explain a yoga process which is possible for me to perform, because I cannot follow all these strictures. And that was Arjuna. That was 5,000 years ago. And he was a Rajarshi. He was a very powerful Kshatriya. He had complete master over his mind and senses. He was in total control of his faculties. That was then. And he said, it is not possible for me to do this. Please give me a yoga process which actually I can follow. So Krishna explained to him the process of Bhakti Yoga. And that is the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. But because nowadays yogis are mainly ku yogis and bogi yogis, they're fake yogis and they're trying to get so much enjoyment from their yogic practice. If you ask any of the yogis, why are you performing yoga? What is the goal of your process? They will tell you, my body will be very strong and fit, my mind will be very strong, I can enjoy, what's the goal of that? I can enjoy very nicely in this world. But that's not the goal of yoga. Yoga means that you link up, you connect with the higher realm, with the supreme. Yoga can also mean a yoke, you know, like oxen or bulls, when they work on the field, they have this yoke over their necks. So you're connected to that supreme. But if you ask them, what is that supreme? Oh, I don't know. I never really studied. So many people were meeting in our travels and in our preaching, and they're saying, I'm a yogi, I'm practicing yoga, or even I'm a yoga teacher. And you ask them, have you read Yoga Sutras? Have you read Bhagavad Gita? Oh no, not really. I'm simply following asanas. Now you cannot have an ashtanga, an eightfold process, and you just take one element out of these eight. First there is yam, niyam, asana, pranayam. You can't just take asanas out. One element, you take it out and you say, this is it, I'm only going to do this. If you go to school and you say, I will only do sports, what will your teacher say? You say, I will just become perfected in doing sports. I will not do any of these mathematics and, you know, English and history and literature and science, and I will only do sports. What will your teacher tell you?
Go back home.
Go back home, but not to Godhead. Go back home to your mother and get this paper signed. You know, those papers which you get handed. Go, take that to your mother and bring it back, signed. That is not acceptable. We cannot just pick and choose like that. It doesn't work. Of course, you can pick and choose anything you like, but then you will not get the desired success of the process. So, if you want to be yogis, we have to follow the process diligently from beginning to end. And if we see that it's not possible, because I'm not going to live in the Himalayas, and I'm also not going to live in a cave, and I'm also not going to live in a forest, if there is any forest left. So, therefore, forget about this yogic process in Kali Yuga. It is not happening. We don't even have to get to mind control, sense control. Not possible. First thing you have to do when you're doing yoga class, you have to collect all the toys. You have to get everybody's mobile phones and, you know, beep beep and all the different things. Otherwise, the attention is too much bewildered. How long can we sit still? Half an hour? 45 minutes? After that, everybody's busy running off doing their very important things. If you want to be a yogi, you just sit down. And you don't move for hours and hours and hours. Now who can do that? Even sitting down chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, less than 2 hours. How many can do that? Without moving. Without moving the mind away from the holy name of the Lord. How many can do that? It's a very hard It's very difficult. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagi uparuta. Our mind is very unsteady, it is flickering, it is always disturbed. Always something is disturbing us. Huh? It's supposed to be summer, and again it became cold. Before it was too hot, now it's too cold. Huh? Then there is wind, then there is no wind. Always imperfect. So that is the nature of this material world. Matra sparsha stu kaunteya, sitosha sukadukada, agamapa inonityas, tamsitiksha suparata. If you actually want to become a yogi, follow Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Just like, even as devotees, we are faced with some of the difficulty of the material world. We're living in the city. City life is expensive. It is congested. There are so many other people. There's so much we want to change and we want to, but we can't because we're not in control. Because our circle of influence is exactly this big. The size of the tip of our nose. That's our circle of influence which we have. Therefore, whenever your mind tells you, you got to change everything. Everything is wrong. You just take out this mantra, Tams Itikshasva Bharata. What does it mean? You should tolerate. Yes, you should tolerate. Just tolerate it. Just let it go. Now that is very difficult. Because we think we're so much attached to the concept of Ishvaroham Aham Bhogi, I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer, that to just accept it and tolerate it, that is so difficult for us. Even to tolerate the climate. We have to have air conditioner, and we have to have heating, and we have to have all different types of arrangements, so there will not be too much disturbed. But what do all these things do? They condition us. They make us conditioned. We become dependent on these things. And we cannot live a peaceful life. So, tams titiksha sabharata, to be tolerant. Titiksha va karunika, surida sarvadehinam, ajata shatrava shanta, sadava sadubhushana. These are the ornaments of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is not known by his fancy dress, by his nice ornaments, by his wonderful living facilities. No. But the qualities, the ornaments on a Vaishnava are his tolerance. Just like Haridas Thakur. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. We say, Brahma Haridas. He is none other than Brahmaji who appeared in the form as Haridas Thakur in a non-Hindu family in order to propagate the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And because at that time the ruler did not appreciate this, so he had him punished. They were beating him in 22 marketplaces. He was with bamboo cane. So it was very, very painful. Any ordinary person would have given up his life immediately. But Haridas Thakur was simply chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And his tormentors were thinking, why don't you die? Why don't you finally die? You're giving us so much trouble. Brahma Haridas, he was just praying for their deliverance, that they will not get any sinful reactions for their activities. So when he saw their anguish and their difficulty, their trouble, he asked them, what is the trouble? And they said, if you don't die, we're going to get punished. So he said, you want me to die? Okay, I'll die. No problem. And he just went into samadhi and he just lost consciousness. So then everybody said, oh, see, he's dead. So let's... They said, okay, we should bury him. They said, no. We'll throw him in the river. So they threw him in the river and he floated down Ganges. And he came to consciousness again and got on the shore and walked off, chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he was not disturbed. Now what is our difficulty in comparison to his difficulty? We may think, oh, I'm in a foreign country. I don't know this culture. I don't know these customs like that. This is not my mother tongue. Haridas Thakur, at that time also, there was foreign rule. There was different type of governance. It's a very unfavorable situation. Things were not good in that sense, socially, politically. But he went on preaching. So we cannot make our spiritual practice, we cannot make our preaching dependent on all these material circumstances. When Srila Prabhupada first met his guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he told him that our country is subjugated. We're a subjugated nation. We cannot preach this Krishna consciousness. First we have to get free from the rule of the foreigners. Then we can spread this Sanatana Dharma. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that it is not a question of who is politically in charge. You have to take care of this preaching mission right now. Governments come, governments go. So there's been so many invasions, there's been so many different types of political moves. So in the same thing, even in our own organization, we shouldn't be so much concerned who is in charge, who is managing, who is holding the keys, whose name is on the signer's ledger. No. Because that is not really the issue. That is not really the concern. The concern is who is doing the preaching. But our mind is telling us, oh, first I have to have, 2 million in the bank, and a house for every one of my children, and then I will preach. But it's never gonna happen. I've got news for you. If we don't start preaching now, it's most likely never gonna happen. Because today is the first day of the rest of our lives. So, if we don't start making plans now for spreading Krishna consciousness, most likely, we will never do so. Because our mind will always tell us, oh, like right now, your mind tells you, I'm too young, I can't do anything, right? But hey, if this other kid, if Aravind can distribute books, why can't you distribute books, right? You're smart. You got the looks and the moves, so you can do it. It's not that he can do it because he's special. He just does it, and he doesn't think much about it, right? But why are we so scared? Why are we so afraid to distribute Krishna consciousness? Because of two main reasons. Number one, we have fear of rejection. We're afraid that people will say no. But they're not saying no to you. They don't know that you're the soul. They don't know who you are, so they can't reject you. If somebody doesn't know you, how can they reject you? They may say no to your body, but what's your body? Your body is just bhumi raponalovayu, is just earth, water, fire, air and ether. It has come from the material elements. It will go back to the material elements. The body is not something very glorious. So if the body is insulted, if a pile of dirt is insulted, who is taking offense? No one, right? So if they don't know you, they can't insult you. Just like Socrates, when they said, proclaim that this soul business and eternity and all that doesn't exist, or drink the poison. He said, first you have to catch me, then you can punish me. Meaning, you may think you have got me, but the only thing which you see here is my body. But my soul, you cannot catch my soul. So if you don't appreciate my teachings, okay, let me drink this poison and carry on somewhere else. In the same way. But our mind is telling us, no. This is different country, different culture. You can't really, talk with these people. They may, get angry or upset. But it is not like that. You can see, especially this Australian country is very, very open to all sorts of things. In fact, even too much open for anything. Anything goes. If it's fine for you, then go right ahead. But we have that fear of rejection. Oh, somebody is going to say no to me. And that will make me less. That will crush my ego. But that is all ahankar. That is false ego. We are identifying with this body. We think this body is glorious. This body is wonderful. This body is coming from such a great tradition of bodies, from such a great country. Now why do you put on the back of your truck or on the back of your rickshaw, you know, my India is great? Why? Because you are born? That's what makes it great? If you would be born in Pakistan, you would put, my Pakistan is great. Or my Bangladesh is great. Or my Nepal is great. Or my Switzerland or my Australia is great. So is the country great because we took birth there? No. It's great just, you know, for whatever reason, right? But everybody is so much on the false ego that because I am who I am, that's why it's very important. And on the other hand, you might be very shy. You might lack self-confidence. You might feel very timid and very inhibited. But that is just depressed false ego. You know depression? Ahankar is inflated false ego. And this inferiority complex is depressed false ego. But it's still ahankar. It's the same thing. Just the reverse, just the negative side of it. But it's the same thing. So whether I'm feeling very incapable and very useless, or I'm feeling tremendously great and spectacular, it's the same material consciousness. Humility is something different. To actually be humble means you understand that I am the pure spirit soul, I'm very small, and I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, and only by Guru and Krishna's mercy, Guru Krishna Prasadebaya Bhakti Lata Beach, only by Guru and Krishna's mercy am I able to do something tangible. So we should get rid of that fear of rejection by studying Bhagavad Gita. If we study Gita properly, we will not have any fear. Because Krishna is telling Arjuna, hey you, stand up, fight, snap out of it, get a life, get going man, you got a job to do. Don't do it for your sake, do it for my sake. So Bhagavad Gita is the perfect book for preaching, for Sankirtan. Because Krishna tells Arjuna how to behave, what is the proper mindset, what is the proper attitude. So, and if you're not feeling comfortable in going on the street and facing people, there is a million ways how you can deal with people. It is not necessary that everybody goes on Swanson Street. In fact, it is not even desired that everybody goes on Swanson Street. But there is a million ways how you can distribute Prabhupada's books. Now, Krishna has given each and every one of us some intelligence, right? Now, what do we use that intelligence for? Do we just use it for eating, sleeping, mating and defending? Or like the Dichi, you know, who had three heads? One head was for drinking somaras, one head was for eating, and the third head, who knows? No. No. You have all read six cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Alcoholic beverage, I think. He was taking different type of juice. So, he had three heads for different types of purposes. So for what are we using our intelligence? We are so smart to make all our arrangements and to make all the different moves here in this world. But when it comes to spreading the Lord's mission, oh no, 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 I'm too young. Oh no, 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 I'm too old. Oh no, 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 I'm too busy. No. Just like I was in Sydney now, and in their temple lobby, they have a book stand. It's called a smart, you know, a book stand. And it is smart because people just walk up to it and they see it and they take out books and they put the money in the box. And every week, hundreds and hundreds of books are distributed. Like here, every day, you have more than 100 people who are coming here. And there is not a book table. There is not devotees there all the time, right, to talk with them. But if the books are available, they can just take and put the money. You can also place smart boxes. They're, you know, plexiglass stands We have a nice display. We have a donation box. And you can place that in all the Indian grocery stores, travel agents, hairdressers, all the businesses which you know and you have business with. You explain it to them that you please help sharing this knowledge and this goodwill to all people. And you put it there on their counter. And if you just place 20 of these boxes, and every week an average box distributes about 10 books or 20 books, how much is that? 20 times 10? 200. That's 200 books. That's a lot of books, huh? And you don't even have to do anything. You just have to put it there once a week or once every 2 weeks. You drive by there, you bring the owner some prasadam, you take the money out, you put new books, and that's it. Huh? So one afternoon, in every 14 days, you drive around and you put the books. It's called smart boxes. You have to work smart, not just work hard. You have to work smart. Now, you're all very smart people, right? Many of you are engineers, you have studied, you've got degrees. So why can't we be smart when we preach? Huh? You can use so many facilities, so many tools, the internet, so many different facilities are there. Or you go on prasad distribution. There's a rock concert, 20,000 people. And you're serving 4,000 or 5,000 plates of prasadam. Just put a smart box there. When people eat good prasadam, they just naturally will put a donation there and take a book. And be very happy. And when you say we don't have the manpower, well, there is so much manpower. You just call for more help, for more people. And you can have a booth, questions and answers. Find out about karma, reincarnation, meditation. All of a sudden, you'll have plenty of engagement. You have a little Hare Krishna festival right there, inside that venue. But if we see it from a material perspective, we may think, oh, this is a rock concert. People are too busy doing their things. They just want to go and enjoy and get intoxicated. But no, many people are looking for something different. They're tired. They're frustrated. They're bored out of their freaking minds. But they don't have any alternative. So till something better comes up, I have to do something with my time and with my money, right? So I just go for this. I was just distributing books in America, in Los Angeles, at one of these venues. And one young boy from Mexico, he came up to me and he said, I read this Bhagavad Gita in my community college in Mexico. Just 2 weeks ago I finished reading Gita. And it is the best book I've ever read in my life. And I know I'm a devotee of Krishna. And I want to become like you. And right now I'm still listening to this rock and I drink some beer. And I have, you know, some other issues. But this is where I want to go. And he purchased the book. And he said, thank you very much for being out here. So it's not that they're all demons, you know, with big horns and big teeth. And as soon as you show them the book, you know, they'll open their big mouth. And they try to devour you. No. Most of the people are just ignorant. They're innocent. They'll go either way. If the demons are loud, they'll go with the demoniac program. If the devotees are loud, they'll go with the Harinam. Huh? They'll go either way. Whoever is making more noise, that's who we're going to follow. Huh? So we got to get rid of this fear of rejection by studying Bhagavad Gita and understanding who we are. Huh? The soul is beautiful. The soul is strong. The soul is powerful. So why are we scared? And the second thing why we might be afraid of preaching is that when we do engage in preaching, Krishna puts a mirror in front of our face. And he says, my dear Prabhu, my dear Devidasi, this is you. This is who you are. These are your strong sides and weak sides. And we may not like that. We may not like it to be faced with our own deficiencies and our own shortcomings. It may be slightly uncomfortable because it puts us on the spot, you know. But actually, we should be very thankful for that. Because to take inventory and to assess, to have that introspection and that self-assessment is crucial for the life of each and every devotee. Otherwise, if you don't know where you are, how are you going to get anywhere? So we have to be realistic. And nowadays, especially in Kali Yuga, it's very hard to get good friends. You get a lot of fair weather friends. When the party is on, they come and they say, oh yeah, everything's wonderful. But a real friend, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Is a person who comes and who straightens you out, who tells you how to improve your life, even at the risk of you not liking it. That's a real friend. And an enemy is somebody who praises you and praises you, and inside is thinking, oh, let's just wait till this person, you know, till his ego is so big that he will explode, that he'll be finished. And then I will become great. Like that. So, we have to roll with the program. Preaching and book distribution is our family business. It is not just some, you know, activity which is there for a few brahmacharis and a few single ladies. So they do some missionary work and they learn how it works. But preaching and book distribution is our family business. Srila Prabhupada has stated that I want that each and every one of my students learns the art of distributing these books. Now you might be old, you might be not very educated or not very sophisticated. But there's no need for that. All you have to be is, you have to be a warm body. You know what a warm body is? You have to be alive. You have to be breathing. Then you can distribute books. You don't have to give big lectures and big seminars and make, you know, the stars come up in the sky and rainbows and... No. You just tell people, this is the best book I've ever read. This is great. I think you will like it too. You can just go up to people and say, you're a great guy. This is a great book. I think you two match well together. Take it. If you get people to say three times yes, usually they take it. If they say three times no, usually they don't. So, how you get people to say yes? Well, that requires a little intelligence. So, we have to get some experience, some practice. And you can ask anybody, any person, if you ask nicely, you can ask two or three times. They will not be upset. Because sometimes when they say no initially, it just means, can you explain this more clearly? What are you all about? What's going on here? It doesn't mean, I don't want this. It just means, hey, slow down, explain. Now sometimes no means no and you just have to take it and move on. So be detached. Like a honeybee going from flower to flower, collecting nectar. If there is no nectar, you don't get upset. You don't start yelling and cursing. You just move on. Like that. And there's plenty of nectar out there. If you would know how many people have become positively influenced by the Hare Krishna movement, you would be shocked. You'd be literally shocked. How many people are reading our books? How many people are liking our movement? How many people have taken prasadam? It is amazing. So, especially here in this country of Australia, so much prasadam distribution, preaching and book distribution has happened over decades, that actually now it's just time to go out and collect the fruits and offer it to Krishna. But if we think in our own little box, in our own little minds, in our own little, with our own little petty problems, then we can't see the preaching. So get organized. Organize yourselves in teams. Some have the ability to organize. So you organize a few friends and you go out and you have a Sankirtan party. You go and do Harinam. You go and distribute books. If you don't like standing on the street because you feel there is too much tension and too much pressure, you go door to door. You don't have to stop anybody. The people already stopped, you know. So what do? You knock on the door. They open the door. Then what do you say? You say, do you live here? And then they start smiling. Then you say, this is for all the nice people who live in this neighborhood. Let me show you one of these. Now everybody wants to say yes. Right? So they already said, yes, I live here. Yes, I'm one of... Then you ask them, are you one of the nice people? And they say yes. Huh? It's very easy. So, it doesn't require PhD, doesn't require great amounts of strength or intelligence, but it just means we have to learn how to relate with people on the level of the heart. And not trying, preaching is not that you try to take, you know, round pegs and put them into square holes. You know, if you have a round peg and you want to put it in a square hole, what do you need? You need a big hammer. Huh? Boom, boom, boom. And then the round peg is not round anymore, it becomes square. But in the process, the round peg doesn't like it, you know, to be pushed into a square hole. So in the same way, people don't like to be squeezed through your own little mind and your own little trip, you know, what you think that Krishna consciousness is. Because it's just not, it's not nice, it's not attractive. But rather we should just learn the art of giving people Krishna consciousness in a very magnanimous, in a very caring and in a very loving way, and they will accept it. Because everybody out there is looking ultimately for the best thing there is. So ultimately speaking, everybody is looking for Krishna. Huh? Because Krishna is the best thing. He's the best person there is. Everybody wants to know about the stars and the celebrities and the VIPs and the important and rich and wealthy people, right? Huh? Even in the magazines it says gossip, you know, this and that and the other thing. So, you should distribute Krishna book. This is about the person who is the most famous, the most beautiful, the strongest, the wealthiest. He married 16,108 queens. He had 16,000 palaces. Huh? Who can match that? Nobody. Huh? So, but in order to preach, we have to be convinced ourselves. If we are not convinced, it makes it very difficult to convince others. And there is a saying that a person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So, to just deal with their minds and say a few smart words to influence their mind is not really going to change them. But if people see by our sincerity, by our humility, and by our authenticity, which means we are real, we're for real, we're not faking it, we're not just putting on a dress and a show, and we're temping, you know? Like you ask people, who are you? And they say, well, right, actually I'm a rock star. Like I ask people, are you a rock star or are you a regular loser? Huh? I ask them on the street, especially if they're young people and a little bit proud, you know. It puts them on the spot. So, and they say, well, I'm a rock star, but right now I'm working in this diner, you know, as a bouncer or, you know, cleaning, doing this, doing that. But actually, I'm a this, I'm a that, but right now I'm temping as that. So everybody's just faking it, you know. Fake it till you make it. Right? They're all just faking it. But we have to understand who we actually are. So you might think, oh, I am not a Sankirtan devotee. I am not a book distributor. Well then, who are you? Who are you? Oh, I am a housewife, or a student, or a businessman, or a young boy. But that's all upadhi. That's all just the external. That's all just the designation. But who are you? I'm the spirit soul. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. And I achieve happiness by chanting Krishna's holy name. And by giving this nectar to others. And that is not limited. That is not limited. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had one very dear devotee and disciple. His name was Sharanga Thakur. And he was very humble. He was so humble that even though many people wanted him as guru, he was not interested in having any disciples. He was happy engaged in his devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered him at one point. He said, Sharanga, you have to take his disciples. This is a direct order. He said, okay. Tomorrow the first person I will meet, I will give him initiation. Huh? So he went to take bath in the river, and a dead body of a young boy was floating down the river, which had been bitten by the snake. So they put it in the river, and it touched him. So he touched him with his feet, and he said, chant Hare Krishna. So the boy came back to life, and he gave him initiation. He was known as Murari, Murari Chaitanya. And later on his parents got to know that he was alive. So they came and they said, come back. And he said, I have no parents. As your son, I am dead. But Charanga Thakur, he has given me life. That is why I am staying with him. So, and he was so fearless that he was riding on tigers, slapping them in the face. He was playing with poisonous snakes. Because already he was dead. And he came back to life. So he was not afraid of death. Because he already had been dead. So what is there to be afraid of, right? In the same way, there is the saying in Bengal that there is nothing to fear except death. And even death is not that, you know, ordinary. So there is nothing to be afraid of. We are followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A.C. stands for Abhai Charanaravinda. He who is fearless because he has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, are we fearless? Or are we fearful? Just like every time you travel to a country and you fill out that immigration card and you walk up to immigration, what's your mood? What's your mind? Do you feel fearful? Just examine your own mentality. Even when you come home to your own country and they ask, where have you been? What have you done? Anything to declare? Have you been on a farm? Like that. So why are we fearful? What do we have to hide? But if you just walk up to them and you say, good morning, sir, Hare Krishna. Then they ask, what are you doing here? I say, Hare Krishna. Who are you staying with? Hare Krishna. Which place is that? That's the Hare Krishna temple. And then all of a sudden they start smiling. And they say, okay, have a nice day. Understand. No more questions. All clear. If you want to go, that's a little inside trick. You want to go really quickly through immigrations and customs, you just say Hare Krishna. How are you doing today? Hare Krishna. Have a nice day. And all of a sudden they start smiling. But then don't do any nonsense. Otherwise. Like that. So you have gotten one of the most ripe fields for preaching. You can be out there on the street. Policemen come, they greet you. How is it going? Wonderful day today, huh? People come, they greet you. You ask them, how was lunch? Where were you? Gopals or Crossways? What did you have? Was it good? Like that. Oh, okay. What books do you have? Like that. They take books, they move on. Preaching and book distribution is fun and easy. Can you repeat that after me? Preaching and book distribution is fun and easy. How many believe that? That's about five. The rest thinks it's impossible or it's difficult or it's just not for me. It's a walk in the park. Just like a kid. When a kid goes out and plays. Because children are not so self-conscious. They're not so screwed up in their heads like we are. They don't think, oh, I can't play here. Oh, I can't jump around here. So that's why everywhere they go, they just horse around, you know? Right? And they do their thing. But we're thinking, I have to look like this, I have to behave like that, everybody's watching me. We're very self-conscious of who we think we are. Oh, I can't be dancing and chanting in public? I've not been to the hairdresser. I haven't put any makeup on. I don't have my proper dhoti today. It's not ironed. How can I go out? What if somebody sees me from my job? What are you doing out here? You working a different job? I tell them no. No. You know, I'm doing this charity work for the Hare Krishna movement. Oh, very good, very nice. Like that. So don't be scared. Don't think, oh, what if? So you just go door to door, knock on people's doors. They're very happy to see a friendly face who brings them some books, like that. Put smart boxes all over town. Have home programs. Invite people. Discuss Bhagavatam and Gita. More people will come and study. Huh? The more, the better. But why is it that we can't get it done? Huh? Complacency? We're just too lazy. Huh? We've been living the good life for too long. Eating the big fat cheese. Huh? Because if you live in the palace of the king, you start living like the king. But then when it's time to go to battle, and then you say, no. Now I'm a mouse. Huh? Before I've been a lion. I've been roaring. And I've been eating like a lion. But when it comes time to battle, to do something for the king, then I'm a mouse. I can't do anything like that. Complacency. Lack of enthusiasm. Because all the energy gets absorbed between the ears in our mind. Our mind is like a swamp. All energy just gets drained. It just gets sucked up. So we have to learn the art of controlling the mind, overcoming the mind. And we have independent nature. We think, I can't work with anybody. But that's not true. When they tell you to get in line for prasadam, you get in line. Right? Because you know, you have to roll with the program. So why can't we work together as a team? And that means some will be leaders, some will be serving as leaders, some will be serving as servants. It's not a problem. But why do we have such big false egos? And we think, no. Can't happen. Oh, the preaching is already going on. Didn't you hear this course this morning? I was just in San Jose, ISV, East kind of Silicon Valley. They don't have a big temple like this. They have a little nitsy-bitsy place. It's like a hole in the wall. And everybody works jobs. They're all professionals. They all have their own lives, their mortgages and their kids. But once or twice a month, everybody goes out to the Shri Prabhupada's books. They call it the monthly Sankirtan festival. And over 150 devotees usually go out to distribute books. And they distribute thousands and thousands and thousands of books. And they're just regular people. But they just put it in their minds that this is what we want to do. So they do it. So whatever we decide on doing, that's what we're going to do. And if we decide, I'm going to go and take breakfast and then I'm going to go to sleep, then that's what you're going to do. And nobody can stop you. Because we all have that independence. We all have our own free will. But Krishna is there and He has given us the ability. He has given us the strength and the enthusiasm and the intelligence. And if we don't have it, then we follow somebody else who has it. So this is a challenge to you. You've got the best preaching field. And right now, you're not really capitalizing in a big way. And in other places, they're planting on rocks. Their environment is like very hostile. But still, they're doing the preaching. Okay, some books go out. Okay, Shadam goes out. Money comes, money goes. That's not the point. The point which I'm asking here is, are you feeling ecstatic? You may say, I'm okay. It's all good, mate. Everybody's happily absorbed in their mateness, But that's not one of the ecstasies of devotional service, Mateness, that you just, you're okay. You're okay, I'm okay. We're all okay. So why am I not feeling the ecstasy? Can you feel the ecstasy? So if we don't feel the ecstasy, that means we're not applying the process in the proper way. Because there is a lot of ecstasy. But we have to open the jar and actually, absorb that ecstasy. By becoming the servant, by becoming the servant of the Lord, the Lord's devotees, and by humbly trying to contribute something for the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's not so difficult. Anybody can do that. So, all these people out there, they have a cup. Some have small cup, some have bigger cup. We should just go around and fill that cup with some nectar of Krishna consciousness. Like that. That should be our mentality. You're like ambassadors for Srila Prabhupada. Spreading the goodwill. Spreading the happy message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to all the people of this land. So, this is a very important service. It is a very treasured activity. Srila Prabhupada engaged in it himself. And he got much joy. He derived a lot of pleasure from it. He said that your preaching and your book distribution is keeping me alive. It's giving me great strength and vigor. Whenever a new book is published, I feel like I've conquered an empire. So we are arranging for preaching programs for Srila Prabhupada. These books are like time bombs. They're going and they're finding exactly the right person. And when that person is in the right state of mind, boom, it will happen. It's like I was in Sydney, I met a young gentleman. He came to Australia from India when he was 5 years old. So he's a real Aussie now. He looks Aussie, he talks Aussie, he acts Aussie. He said that, you know, I'm living in the same neighborhood like this temple. And I was coming here already 3 times before. But the deities, you know, the altar was always closed every time I came. And I know why. But when I was in difficulty, and because my business was going good, my family, everything I was enjoying, life was alright. But I was very proud and engaged in a lot of nonsense. But then, when things were not good, and I actually came to take shelter of the Lord, for the first time, the altar was open. And I could see Radha Gopinath. And he said that himself. He said, I was not ready. I was too proud. But then when I was a little humble, then the altar was open. And immediately the Lord was there and He gave me strength and solace and, you know, helped me to work my life out like that. So, we are here every day and the altar is open every day. But are we taking shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Vallabha? And are we gaining that real courage? Yes, let me be an instrument of the mercy of my Gurudev. And spread that nectar to other living entities. Or are we still playing in our sandbox with our toys, hitting each other over the head? No, this is mine. No, this is mine. Give me this. No, I want this. I had this first. Wow, you're so naughty. You're such a rascal. And in this way, we can go on playing our games for our entire life. And the names change, and the people change, and the toys change, but it's the same game. Or we can actually realize that if you want to be known as intelligent, then you roll with the Sankirtan process, with the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And again, that doesn't mean you have to take a stack of 20 books and run out on Swanson Street. That means you can just cook some nice prasadam in your home and you offer it to the Lord. And whoever you meet, you give them some prasadam. People will be touched, you know. People will be impressed. Because if you get something which is cooked with love and devotion, homemade, and offered to the Lord, this is very extraordinary. This is something very special, very unique. But we underestimate it. It's not just food. And we're not just out there feeding people. But it's prasadam. It's Krishna's mercy. When you go on Harinam and you chant the holy name of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, you can see how this pastime is going on. And when you give somebody a book, then they get a ticket to the spiritual world. Now whether they want to go there, that's a different question. We can only tell them, this is a great, you know, this is a great thing, this is a great show. I think you should really check this out. But whether they're actually going to take it seriously, that is not in our hands. So, preaching and book distribution are essential activities for gaining the proper attitude and the proper altitude in devotional service. What's the proper attitude? Huh? I am the servant of the servant of the servant. I am simply serving all these living entities out there. I'm not the boss. I'm not the master. I'm the servant. And altitude, it's like in an airplane, when an airplane takes off. Huh? First, it goes full force, right? So it actually can gain some height. Otherwise, if you start moving around too much on the highway, on the runway, or just after takeoff, there is every chance for accident. So in our devotional practice, we should floor it. You know what floor it means? Push the pedal to the metal, actually give it some, you know, actually give it some speed, accelerate. Don't think, oh, now I've got it figured out. I know who are the good guys, the bad guys. I know how this game works here. You know, I have my friends and my enemies and I figured it out. This is sandbox game, you know. Floor it. Dedicate yourself to a particular service. Become expert at it. Then you will gain some altitude. And then you'll see, hey, the bigger picture. Hey, this is not a sandbox. There's people who live outside the sandbox. They're not collecting toys. There's people who are actually happy here. So, let us dedicate ourselves to this Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You'll not be the losers. Huh? I haven't met anybody who said, oh, I regretted it, you know. I regret it. I wasted so many years, you know, doing this service for Krishna. Distributing these books. Even now, I know so many devotees who have done it for a good part of their lives, or even just a few years. And if you ask them, how was it? And they'll always say, this was great fun. This is really what trained me, what made me what I am now. So if you want to make it in this movement, if you want to be successful, go on preaching and book distribution. Then you can do anything. All the doors are open. Because you'll learn the art of dealing with your mind and your senses. And that is the real key to peace of mind and to freedom. And by doing something which is pleasing for Guru and Krishna, we can actually taste that happiness in our own heart. Because when that person walks away with that book and that smile on their face, and they're really, oh yeah, I've got to read this. I mean, thank you very much for being out here. Then our heart feels very full. And even when the person starts screaming and shouting and saying, this is very bad, you shouldn't be doing this. We also feel, hey, that's nice. This process is working, you know. If nobody objects, that means you're not doing anything. If you don't have any opposition, that means you're not doing anything. Because as soon as you start doing something, the fault finders, the criticizers, they come out of the woodwork. If you just mind your own business, nobody cares. Because the damage is self-contained. But as soon as you actually go out and you start doing something, then everybody comes and has their opinions. Of course we shouldn't do anything stupid. We should behave nice. As Prabhupada, how we know who is your disciple, he said, they'll behave like perfect gentlemen and perfect ladies. So you will see, these are my disciples. And people will see, just by the example, just by the character, they will see and they will become so appreciative. There's a lot of stories which could be told in this regard, but time is running short. So, thank you very much. Is there any question in this regard? Yes. The first thing, yes.
And like, I personally have a fear, like, when I'm representing responsible, I know that I'm representing responsible to that particular person who is speaking or whom I'm talking. So I have a fear that, like, I should not put a negative effect of at least not myself but of responsible.
Yeah, but that's not a negative, that's not fear. That's just normal. It's like In our own lives, we have certain aspects of our personality which are nice and certain other aspects which may not be that nice. You know, we have the good and the bad dog in ourselves. So it's the good and bad habits. So you just have to keep on feeding the good habits and try to, you know, get the bad habits under control. So when you go out, you just be your good, jolly self. Huh? You just be in your best spirits. And all the other things which we sometimes do, you know, our sandbox moves, our dirty tricks, you don't do them. Then there will be no problem. There will be no bad impression. So don't worry too much. Huh? You don't have to be, you know, a scholar or anything. You just be your normal, true self. That is good enough. That is attractive. If you're just authentic, you know, people are looking for authenticity. They're not, they want something real. Something which is not fake. So if they see that you are just comfortable in being yourself, that's very rare nowadays. Because most people are faking it. Yes?
I heard a comment about that keeping box and they used to go to North Queensland and there they used to keep very big bananas in boxes. And you can put the money and take bananas.
Yeah, sure.
And only two or three bananas you put. So it was such a wonderful thing. Taking books and putting the money on.
Yeah. And people are doing it, you know, on honorary basis. It works very well.
Wonderful.
So you figure it out. You're all very smart people. You found your way here, right? So what's the comparison, you know, in coming here and setting up your shop here or your life here and distributing a few books? It's very easy in comparison, right? To move an entire existence from one place to another, not so easy. Takes a few years, takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of hard work. A lot of endeavor. Move a few books, it's not so complicated. So you use your intelligence. Make other people's lives fortunate. The more you give, the more you get. Other questions? Sometimes?
We've been going for an hour or so. You know, some days are not really, it doesn't click and they're not able to. You know, sometimes people are just not stopping, they're trying to stop.
Yes.
Stopping. So, and then slowly we start feeling rejected, and then the next day we are a bit scared to go out. Or will I think the same? What I did on the
TV? Well, there's different things I can say to that. Number one, you should go out with other girls who know the art of how to deal with people and how to stop them. You should learn from them, so you become more expert, more skillful. But some days are just worse than others. Sometimes people just, you know, in a not such a nice mood. Like I've seen, even when you go to the city, up till 2 o'clock, it's, you know, really nice. And then it's just like a different energy. It's just like, even the lunch break, everybody's just out there, you know, I want to get my sandwich and get back to work in half an hour. It's a different energy. So it goes by energies of the day, also your own mood, by area where you go to distribute. But you can't be, you know. Tamsi tiksha sovarata. You just have to be equipoised. You just have to know some days are better, some days are worse. That's just how life is. It's not, you know, you have one of these bad hair days. You heard of bad hair days? Someday you try to do anything you want to do, but it just doesn't work out. Right? It just doesn't happen. So then what you do? You stay home and you put a blanket over your head and stay in bed all day? No, you still got to go out and live life, right? Even if it's a bad hair day. Guys don't have that problem so much. They do also, but they don't recognize it so much. Huh? So, just move on and do what you got to do. And all of a sudden you can turn a not so favorable situation into a favorable situation. And sometimes it's vice versa. The situation is very good, but because our consciousness is not very good, we don't click. So by chanting our rounds attentively in the morning and reading Prabhupada's books, we get the inspiration and the clarity and the strength to carry on with this process. Because people are going to ask you, what does it say in those books? And you're like, oh, I don't read. I'm just selling this, you know. This is a job, man. I already know the philosophy, you know. I already took initiation. This is for you. They will not be very convinced. If you're not taking the medicine, then why should I follow you? It's not convincing. Other questions? Thank you for your patience. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari.